Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. We made it to Friday. It's Friday, September the 27th, 2013. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a very pleasant weekend. The cool weather this morning, giving big thumbs up. And I just as I walk out in the garden this morning, it's almost like all the plants were saying, we finally made it. Through another. Do you agree with that, Sarah?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, our dogs always get extremely jivey and, and waggy when the weather cools down.
And I know it's cooler because my princess, my Norwegian forest cat, likes to jump up on the dining room table and get under the lamp already. Like it's suddenly, it's warm not up. That cold outside. Anyway, we are here on our Friday Focus here on the Buckmaster Show. We are live noon to one each weekday on KVOI, and we are at live streaming at buckmastershow.com and KVOI.com and podcasting again to my website, TucsonCitizen.com and TucsonSentinel.com. Our Friday Focus interview today, Cam Juarez is with us. Cam is a member of the governing board of the Tucson Unified School District, the second largest school district in the state of Arizona. Joining me to question Cam is Sarah Garrett Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. If you have a question or comment, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line. And that number is 790-2040. Love to hear from you. Cam Juarez would be happy to entertain your question or comment. We also want to invite you to be a friend of the Buckmaster Show. We kind of have set this goal, sort of an unofficial goal, Rosemary Brandt, my ace producer, and I. We'd like to get 3,000 friends of the Buckmaster Show by our three-year anniversary, which is January the 3rd. And we're at about 2,900 friends of the show. So I think it's doable, don't you, Sarah?
Oh, totally.
100 friends. In,
I'm one of your
what
friends.
Do you think, Cam? Yeah, both of you are friends. Yeah, so I think that's doable. So if you're a friend of the show and you know somebody else who's on Facebook, just say, hey, maybe you could join the Bill Buckmaster Friendship Club or whatever.
There you go.
Cam,
there you
how
go.
Are you today?
I'm well. I'm well. Thank you for asking. How about yourselves?
Doing very well. We're doing well. And Sarah, good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Of course.
Cam, let's begin with what is TUSD going to get out of this Supreme Court ruling concerning upholding mandatory school funding?
You know, it's a very interesting question, and to be very, very honest with you, I haven't been completely briefed on this. Of course, we're going to be looking to legal to kind of give us a perspective on this. As you know, the Arizona Education Association had a lawsuit with the state where some of these monies were going to be coming back to us, and those monies were attached to enrollment. And as we hit the 10th day and are looking at the 40th day and hopefully looking optimistically at the 100th day, we looked at enrollment being about 1,000 students short of what we wanted it to be. That would have given us the $4.5 million that we were expecting. So I'm optimistically cautious.
So TUSD may not see any funding from this.
I wouldn't be comfortable answering that just yet. I'm hopeful, okay. But I really would want to have a little bit more information on that. That's a fairly new story, and I have a tendency to not say, yes, we're going to get this funding, because then we get all kinds of groups saying.
So you're hopeful.
Yep. I'm optimistically cautious.
Okay. Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Star.
Today's front page of the Arizona Daily Star had a story by Alexis Wicuchea, who covers TUSD, about the effort from Superintendent H.T. Sanchez to get administrators out and do kind of some beautification work with the community, hopefully, on schools. Mm-hmm. Do you guys plan as board members to participate in that? And can you talk a little bit about what that means?
Well, as one board member, I signed up this morning. So I even proposed it to schools that I'd be working with, and those would be McCorkle, which is one of the schools I support because my son goes to school there, as well as Ochoa, which is another school in South Tucson. So being a project coordinator with Pima County Chinese Neighborhood Reinvestment Program. I definitely see beyond beautification. I see about reinvestment in the school itself. So I think, you know, I'm always very, not surprised, but I'm always very entertained, if you will. And I feel hopeful with this new superintendent because he constantly does these kinds of things. The story, you know, that Alexis spoke about was how he took the leadership team versus having a very, very formal meeting where everybody was in ties and very, you know, dressy work clothing. As I'm getting to 1010 to sign some paperwork, he's walking out in jeans and a T-shirt on a work day. And I say, what are you doing?
Did he have his boots on?
He did. Okay. Work boots.
Oh, work
boots. And he said, we're sending the leadership team out to go home and change because we're going over to one of our schools to help with the roofs and everything that had happened after the storms had hit.
And he likes to do handyman
stuff. He does. And I think that the Tuesday night's meeting where he got off from the dais and went down to the podium to speak to our constituents, but also speak to staff. You know, some of the staff were very surprised that hadn't been done a lot in historically, as I understand. So I think he's very hands-on, literally. And I really encourage the rest of the board to sign up to help out at one of our schools. I think it goes beyond going out and beautifying the school. I think it's an issue to say, look, we've unfortunately had mm-hmm. to underfund our custodians and our groundskeepers, and this is an effort by our board to set the example so maybe some community can come out and help. I know we do that with a lot of schools already, but I think this is a formalized effort to try to for all of us to get back into it and really start looking at this district positively. Hopefully we can look at some of this funding that you mentioned before and apply that to some of expanding our custodial services as well as our groundskeeping.
It's kind of like seed, laying the seeds with the labor or the voluntary labor to get out there and help. And hopefully others in the community will pick up on this.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And parents or whatever, folks that just would like to beautify the particular school in their neighborhood.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so important to get people back into our schools. They were at one point the community hubs that, you know, that were the one-room schoolhouse.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's an opportunity to kind of jump back in. And in a day and age where school districts are constantly being attacked for what they're not doing, mm-hmm. I think this is a great way of saying this is what we can do.
Here's Sarah again.
Well, I also think it's something that is a way to get people who may not have kids in the school, maybe your neighbors or just live in the area, into the schools and see from the inside, because I am a firm believer that you don't really understand something until you've seen it from, you know, different perspectives. So I hope that comes to pass. You did mention that the enrollment is down about 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain why that is, where the students are going, and is it one part of the district versus another?
Sure. Well, I mean, enrollment's tricky because we're looking at 10-day counts, we're looking at 40-day counts, and then we're looking at the 100th-day count. We're about the 40th day now, and those numbers are starting to come in. The 100th day is really what funding formulas are based on. That's. I mean, it's not if you show up on the 100th day, you were going to get that money for that student. It's how many students you've had, you know, on average into that 100th day. And so our enrollment numbers are really about projections. And so we're about – really it's between 1,000 and about 1,400 is what our statisticians are telling us. And so I think more importantly, we're looking for that 100th day to see where we are. As far as what that would be attributed to, I would say that, you know, there's a couple different things. Obviously, you've got the worker sanction, employer sanction laws, like SB 1070, stuff like that, I would say has a percentage. One other element would be the school closures. The numbers that we got were about 175 kids we lost during that process. But the enrollment really has hit these peaks during two different periods. I was mentioning to Bill, our peak has been about 63,000, and that's pretty high for the number of schools that we have. And that was in 73, 74, and again in 1997, 98. Around 95 was when the charter schools started opening. That's when they became a formal entity through the state legislature. And that's when really we started seeing some of these numbers start slowly to decline, not just for our district, but for districts all over the region. So I think in terms of our enrollment, they are definitely a little lower, but we are seeing a lot of our students come back to us after the school year ends. We typically see the same students over again. I think our number was about 91% of our students come back the next year.
That's is there a way to track? I know when I was covering the district in that the late 90s, when I was starting to cover the district, there was a lot of talk about how students would be with TUSD and probably any district or district school up until about middle school. Then they'd leave, mm-hmm. and then they'd come back. Absolutely. Is that something that a trend that still holds?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, on Tuesday, we authorized about $32,000 for a demographic study. And I know that sounds like a lot of money, but municipalities spend a lot more money, really maybe two or three times that amount on these kinds of demographic studies. And we're looking for a 10-year projection based on trends from the last about 8 years. And so I think it's a worthwhile expenditure to see where we are with that in terms of where we're building in the community, where the birth rates are looking to be growing. So we are definitely looking to study this and better understand what our enrollment's going to be over the next 10 years. So versus focusing on the number of students we've lost in the last 10 years, I mean, although that's the basis for the study, this firm is going to go out and look for where our students are going to be coming from, not only so that we can in the future build schools in that area, but really keep schools from closing in that area. Make sure we're putting resources not only in those schools, obviously all of our schools, but really making sure that we're taking care of those sites so that our students can start going there.
And obviously dropouts affect the enrollment picture, and I know that there's an initiative now. This came up on was it this week or last week, to attract dropouts back to the classroom.
Yep. That is a joint effort with some other school districts, specifically Sunnyside. Ms. Grijalva, our board president, had inquired about our alternative programs. I mean, we understand that we've got students that are doing great, we've got students that are doing, you know, okay, and then we got students that are struggling. And so not only is it an effort to try to keep our kids from dropping out, it's an effort to try to get our kids that have dropped out to come back to the district and work through any number of programs, whether they're teen parents through our TAP program or any of the other alternative programs that we have. We're essentially trying to keep the kids we are risking losing and getting kids back that, you know, went to a charter school and decided that wasn't the option for them.
Cam Juarez is with us, 790-2040, 790-2040. Sarah Garrett-Gasson is here from The Star. It's our Friday Focus interview on the Buckmaster Show, and we're going to take a break right now. Please give a listen to the folks who support this program, and we are very happy and honored that they do. Please give them your support. We'll be right back.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit RTAmobility.com or Facebook.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Under the glowing glass of brilliant light, experience UA Biosphere 2 Discovery Nights. For the first time ever, premiering the wonders of Biosphere 2 at night with extended hours. Beginning Saturday, September 28th, join us for five straight Saturday nights for an exciting family adventure with activities that promote curiosity and creativity. Receive a free annual pass with nighttime adult admission. Kids 12 and under are free. Limit 2 per adult. Visit b2science.org for more event details.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees. But we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm, and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet, with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza.
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit coxbusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next-day professional installation.
And a carrot cake.
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
Welcome back. Our Friday Focus interview, Cam Juarez, is with us. Cam is a member of the TUSD Governing Board. Sarah Garrett Gasson is with us, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. And before we leave the topic, Cam, about funding, the sequestration issue, how has that affected TUSD?
Well, we're going to see it across the district. I mean, the area I wanted to focus on in terms of talking about today was really more as it affects our exceptional ed students, specifically our special education kids. As a whole, nationally, I should say, there's been a shortage of qualified teachers to work with these kids. That particular piece has impacted district by a loss of about 10% of the funding that we're already shorthanded from the federal government, unfortunately. This issue now that's going on in D.C. is going to undoubtedly affect the districts across the nation even
the
further.
The shutdown. Possible shutdown.
So, I mean,
what looks likely is a shutdown.
Right.
Yeah,
right. And
I get
that folks don't necessarily agree with the healthcare legislation mm-hmm. as it's moved forward. But I think the Affordable Health Care Act, I think, is one element. But then we're talking about public education, and you know, we all know the cornerstone of a democracy is a well-educated public, I think that it's going to be problematic for us. But as far as the sequestration goes, it has impacted the district by about 10% so far.
Okay. Here's Sarah Garrett Gasson on the Star.
The TUSD Governing Board, I think under the leadership of Superintendent Sanchez, decided not to go along with the plan for the magnet schools
sure.
under the desegregation. Could you tell us a little bit about what that means from a practical standpoint
sure.
and what we should expect, if this will change schools, if it will affect the legal
sure.
case that's going
sure.
on?
There's a couple points to that, and I'll start off by referencing the mention that you made earlier about the beautification of our campuses. And, you know, and I think, Sarah, you said it, you know, if folks that don't have kids that visit our campuses will get invested in that. Well, the problem with the magnet plan as it stands is the special master and a consultant that he brought in from out of town looked at some of the issues, looked at our numbers, looked at our stats and whatnot, and then determined that we were not meeting integration, which is one of two components to being a magnet school. Where they saw that were with Davis they saw it with Roskridge and they saw it with Carrillo. Roskridge has since been taken off the list, so now we're looking at those two schools. The issue here is that they didn't visit the schools. They didn't see the integration. The public, when they came to call the audience, made a really specific point that there was, I would say, at least 10 families that were there that were both either Anglo and Latino or Asian and Anglo or were Anglo and African American. So our demographics are rapidly changing in this country where it's hard to check off a box. The Arizona state law determines that if you have one Latino student within the school age population, then that household automatically becomes Latino. So we have, and if you go to Davis Elementary, you see a lot of Anglo kids, you see a lot of African American kids, you see a lot of mixed race kids. As far as that goes, what Dr. Sanchez said on Tuesday was, I think it's important for us to revisit how we determine what is integration based on the new demographic numbers that are coming out. I mean, the last two censuses have shown an increase in mixed race populations. So how do you determine that we're not integrated? I mean, it's no secret that there are a lot of Latino students there. But Ms. Grijalva and myself have children that we want to go to Davis because I'm first generation a Mexican American and already my son is already losing his Spanish, which is, you know, he's in an economy where we should have, in my opinion, more than one language at home, where a child should be bilingual, possibly even speak Mandarin. Yeah. you know, it's you shouldn't be taking away a language. We should be adding a language, in my opinion. So I think as far as the magnets go, there's a plan A and a plan B. Plan A is to basically for us to study the information, go to the sites, have the forums with the families, have that community input, and then move on to putting together our own plan and submitting it to the court. If that fails and the special master and the court override us, then plan B is to essentially equal the funding, if not increase the funding for these magnet programs, where they may lose the magnet status. And this is a big may, and I mean, we're obviously going to go to bat for this. Then, at least that's the feeling that I'm getting. Then plan B will be to make sure that the funding stays there so we can continue these are an A and a B school. We right. shouldn't be messing with that formula, in my opinion.
Quickly running out of time, and the culturally relevant courses have begun at TUSD. Mm-hmm. And the last time Superintendent Huprenthal was on our program, he made it very clear. He's very adamant. He does not like what TUSD is doing in that regard.
Well, what I can say to that is we're moving forward with this because it's the right thing to do. AD has been given the opportunity to review the curricula. They've given us some feedback. We've incorporated that feedback into the adopted curricula. So we are following the letter of the law on this. We've just approved close to 100 new books, texts for these courses that were requested by the teachers and the folks, the national experts that have developed this curricula said these are the texts that are attached to this curricula. So we're moving in a positive direction, I think. The classes have already started a few weeks back, and the kids are raving about, you know, what they're learning. And it's a very different situation than we were a few years ago in that we're, again, there wasn't a law then. There's a law now. We're following the letter of the law. So Mr. Huprenthal can be upset about it, but we are following that, and we're sticking with the Common Core or the the standards formerly known as the Common Core here in Arizona. But we're also moving with the park and moving in a direction to try to teach our students in order for them not only to pass these tests and score well in these assessments, but to move even beyond that. That these assessments should be the floor, not the ceiling, to what we're teaching our kids.
And Hoopenthal's own department vetted this course, vetted the course?
You know, they argue that they did not put the stamp of approval on this, mm-hmm. but they certainly did provide feedback to us, and we incorporated that, like I said, into our curricula. The other important thing to continue with that framework is to make sure that we're preparing our students for an equitable and excellent education in this district, and that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to create an amazing product where we're going to draw students from charter schools, from other districts, whatever that may be.
All right, Cam Juarez, thank you very much for being our Friday Focus interview. I hope you have a great weekend, Cam.
Thank
you and your family.
You as well. Weather's beautiful. Let's get out there.
It is. Thanks a lot. We'll have our Reporters Roundtable next on the Buckmaster Show right after this.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Democrat-controlled Senate has approved a bill that's designed to avert a partial government shutdown next week, but there is a catch. This bill does not include a provision that would defund Obamacare, and that's something that Republicans in the House have demanded. So at this point, it's not clear whether a compromise can be reached in time to avert a partial government shutdown next Tuesday. President Obama's about to have something to say about the D.C. budget impasse. President Obama says that a deal reached on a U.N. resolution eliminating Syria's chemical weapons is potentially a huge victory for the international community. Wall Street's nervous about the potential government shutdown. Stocks are lower. The Dow off 82 points. The Nasdaq is down 10. More details at srnnews.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
It's Mariachi Fiesta with Los Changuitos Feos, the original mariachi youth group. Saturday, September 28th at La Posada on Oracle. Browse the art show, stay for dinner and the concert, and support scholarships. Saturday, September 28th at La Posada on Oracle. For tax-deductible tickets, call 820-8121.
Welcome back to our Friday Reporters Roundtable on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, our roundtable featuring local journalists who are the Buckmaster Show contributors, and we thank them very much for being so. Joining me this week, Sarah Garrett-Gasson, editorial writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. And we welcome Mark Evans now in his new capacity. Actually, this is his first week on the job, his new assignment, professional assignment in life as editor of Inside Tucson Business. Mark, how is it going? How'd the first week go?
It's going pretty good. I've got a lot to learn about business journalism and about getting out a weekly business publication that relies a lot on freelance. Managing all those contracts is not something I'm used to. So, but other than that, it's going pretty well. Dave Hatfield, who was the editor there for 9 years, he stayed on for a week and was enormously helpful, and he's moving on to the county now, so I can't thank him enough for giving me this week to let me catch my breath and get caught up. So, but I'm excited about it. It's a good publication, and I hope that I can make it even better.
And for folks who are not familiar with Inside Tucson Business, you're going to try to I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're going to try to upgrade perhaps the website eventually and make it a little more daily news.
Right.
Daily newsy, I don't know.
Right. We are in a period in this profession of a digital transition where more and more people want to get their news digitally. So you have to kind of have two heads and two hats on and have a digital focus and getting news to digital readers on a timely basis in any format they want it, whether they want it on their phones, their tablets, their desktop computer. By an email, newsletter, whatever. And then you've still got your print subscribers who are paying most of the bills. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to serve those interests as well, and that's the weekly paper. So we're trying to make sure we got cover stories every week that are big talkers. I want people saying, wow, did you read that story in Inside Tucson Business last week or today? And then we're going to have constant updates on the website, and I hope people read it. If I want it to be an excellent source for business news within the community.
Well, we've got a link now to Inside Tucson Business on BuckmasterShow.com, and hopefully we'll have a link.
By Monday, I'll have a link for the Buckmaster Show and Inside Tucson
Say it
Business.
Here publicly. Yeah, we hope you'll have it. Don't twist your arm any. Sarah, I liked your column on Thursday talking about ordinary Americans, so many times the politicians who, boy, their popularity rating, I wouldn't want to see what Congress is rating. It was pretty low to begin with, but I mean, right now, oh my goodness. They always refer to average Americans, the American people, regular folks, Main Street folks. Well, the mainstream folks are pretty upset, I think, with Congress right now.
Yes, absolutely. And I just, every time I hear politicians, you know, talk about the American people or ordinary Americans or average Americans, I think, well, who the heck are you then? Because aren't we supposed to be a democracy representative form of government where people who understand the concerns of how people live their lives are doing the nation's business? Mm-hmm. And it just sort of sets my teeth on edge every time I hear it. And so
if we're average Americans, what are they?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, they're extraordinary. And extraordinary doesn't always mean in a good way. I just wanted to make the point that one of the things that I think we need to do as voters is to hold our candidate. I mean, we get the people that we elect. We're settling in a lot of cases for the people who will raise their hand and say, I'll do it. And I'm sure we have all in this room spoken to people running for office where you just sort of scratch your head and like,
wonder,
what are you doing? You don't know anything about it. Mm-hmm. And so I think we need better candidates. We need better, more knowledgeable voters. And I'm not okay with being ordinary.
Mark, your editorial in Inside Tucson Business that you posted today, brinksmanship is not statesmanship, and I applaud you for this. I agree with what you say, and you want to sort of summarize it for us?
Yeah, I mean, I'm no fan of Obamacare, but I'm not a fan of Obamacare for the opposite reasons of the Tea Party that are being led by Senator Ted Cruz. I thought we needed a single-payer system. I think that makes the most sense. So we created this convoluted, extremely complicated system. Okay, the Democrats won the elections. They passed the bill. It was signed into law. And so we've got a small cadre. It's not even all the Republicans. It's just a small group of Republicans who are just obsessed with this bill, and they believe that the bill will, the law, Obamacare, if it goes into effect October 1st, will destroy the country. So their solution to that is to destroy the country. They are holding up the budget process, the beginning of the fiscal year for the Congress is October 1st mm-hmm. For the country. And so there's no spending bills. No spending bills have been approved. There is no funding for the government that will take place on October 1st unless the Congress starts passing some funding bills. So the House forced through a bill that says, okay, here's our funding, and here's what we want to do. Here's our funding bill, and it defunds Obamacare. Well, that is going to be stripped out by Senate Democrats. Moreover, even if that bill were to somehow get to the desk of the president, he's going to veto it.
So what's the exit strategy for them?
I think that they think that everyone is secretly on their side and that they will come to their aid and see it their way, and that somehow the Democrats, faced with total crisis and shutdown and chaos, will throw their hands up in the air and say, okay, we give up. You're right. Let's get rid of this Obamacare. It's never going to happen. If the government shuts down, they have made it easy for themselves to do it by taking the critical things like border security and Coast Guard and the airports and the traffic controllers and the prison guards. They all still get to have jobs. So what else gets shut down? Well, all spending will stop. They'll stop paying rents on the buildings that they lease. The federal government is the largest leasee in the country, mm-hmm. Or lessor, which however that works.
Thousands of federal workers
right.
in
thousands
this country,
of federal workers
and their
paid.
Families are not going to get – there's going to be no money for them.
And the economy,
what about the military? They're going to get IOUs.
Right. The economy is already just barely chugging along. It is extremely fragile. And the federal government, like it or not, spends – hundreds of billions of dollars a month. And if that stops, everybody's going to stop making payments. They're going to stop getting rent. They're going to stop getting checks. It's just going to be – it is so dangerous to the economy for them to be doing this right now over this ideological issue. And I think it's wrong, and I think they're going to – if they let it shut down, they're going to pay a horrible price next year in the elections.
But their horrible price would actually be good for getting the business of the country done. I think it's people who confuse what they might consider standing firm or, you know, being a stalwart and standing up for something.
What would be considered a courageous stand.
Right. And that might play with people who are the hardcore primary voters. But the question I always wonder, is this for you, Senator Ted Cruz, so we get to know who you are and your political gains? Or is this something that you're doing to help the people that you're supposed to represent? I am it's not surprising given human nature, but it's still just so crass thinking about I think that this whole charade is about publicity. We're talking about Ted Cruz. We're talking about
and
the
his
Tea Party.
Possible political aspirations.
He wants to run for president, is what everybody thinks.
Well, right.
What I'm worried about is you've got 40,000 federal workers in Arizona. They're not going to get paychecks. And I also worry about our tourism. Folks, the Grand Canyon mm-hmm. National Park will be shut down, Sabino Canyon, Saguaro National Park. You know, it may be a small thing, but I'm one of these people, I like to really plan for when I travel and I do vacations. Well, if you're a family and think about that, you've been planning, you've got reservations up at the Grand Canyon, maybe you've had them for a year, it's the perfect time of year, autumn up there, and suddenly the family trip, it's off. I mean,
when this happened for 3 weeks in 1995 and 1996, the ripple effect in the local economies of Flagstaff, Williams, Grand Canyon Village, Cameroon, all those areas up there, even Las Vegas, that rely heavily on Grand Canyon tourism. Something like, what is it, 3 or 4 million people go to the Grand Canyon every year.
Yeah, tens it's one of our country's marquee attractions.
Tens of thousands a day. They won't be able to get in.
No.
And it will devastate those local economies up there if this lasts for any period of time, more than just a few days.
Say you need to do international business, you need your passport renewed, you've put it off, or perhaps you need a passport because you have to travel for whatever reason, a family emergency. You're not going to be able to get your passport.
Well, see, but the problem, I think, is that we're all speaking as very logical, rational people with real-world concerns and practical considerations.
The realistic thing.
And that has nothing to do with what's going on with the Tea Party in Washington right now.
Well, I know. I mean, I just – it's – anyway. I want to mention that it looks like – Martha McSally may face a primary. Republican Ed Martin is going to – looks like he will announce in Congress Congressional District 2 on the Republican side, Mark. So there could be other candidates, too, in that primary as well.
The job of Congress is a really good job. They get paid very well, most of them who go in.
Oh, they'll be paid, too,
throughout exactly.
This,
the Congress
this
still gets
shutdown.
Paid.
Yeah, that's something most we should point
out. Most of the people
out.
Who go into Congress, if they get reelected for a few times, they come out. If they went in and weren't millionaires, they all come out millionaires. It's a great job. It's got great benefits. Healthcare is fabulous.
Why aren't we all running for Congress then?
I don't know.
So I'm sure that there's going to be lots of people running for Congress. I think a lot of people still think that Ann Kirkpatrick is and Ron Barber, they're in very even districts. They're considered toss-ups. Mm-hmm. And so there's going to be a lot of interest on the Republican side to finally to knock one of those two of them off. So we'll see what happens. I wouldn't be surprised. This also might be an example of the battles going on with the Republican Party in Arizona. The Republican Party in Arizona is tearing itself apart. Martha McSally is a good candidate, and she proved that in the past. So you would think that the Republicans would all want to get behind her and see if they can win that election. But, I'm not surprised she's facing a primary.
The TRIO had its annual meeting, and one of your first assignments as Inside Tucson business editor, of course, it's pretty important, our business and our economic development, certainly your beat. You were at the event this week. What was the bottom line out of the TRIO meeting?
The TRIO is I don't want to say remaking themselves, but they are embarking upon a pretty bold initiative to – they're calling it an economic blueprint, where they have spent the last few years or last few months, I suppose, doing a considerable amount of research to find out what the strengths of the Tucson economy is, what its weaknesses are, and then get a whole bunch of people from the community broken up into five separate committees that look at workforce development, that look at tourism, education. Trying to improve the talent pool so that they can connect, so they can create a pool of talent within Tucson that is desirable to businesses who want to come here and tap into that talent. It's a pretty significant change for the organization. And so as part of their luncheon Wednesday, they also had the two presidents of the universities there, Ann Weaver Hart from U of A and Michael Crow, who is quite a hoot to listen to when he talks. He's really funny. He pulls no punches. He's not afraid of anything. So they were talking about the educational aspect. And the interesting thing that those two had to say is that it's fun for the Wildcats and the Sun Devils to be rivals, but it is not good for ASU and U of A to be rivals, and that they both need to work cooperatively. And the whole time I was sitting there hearing them, I'm wondering, are these two university presidents talking about creating a unified Arizona university system? Which could be interesting because the alumni have a lot of vested interest in being a Wildcat or being a being a Sun Devil. So it would be interesting to see if we do create like Wisconsin and Arizona university system with different campuses, and that's how you're identified. And that's that was my takeaway. It was, you know, 700 people were there.
Yeah, it's always an interesting.
The chicken was nice.
Chicken, how lovely. Yeah, I wasn't able to make the luncheon this year, but traditionally they have been, I mean, kind of a see and be seen event, if nothing else.
Sarah, we are quickly running out of time, but we mentioned Mr. Hoopenthal, Superintendent of Public Instruction, during our interview with Cam Juarez. He went before the Sunnyside Governing Board this week in hopes of kind of unifying a real mess over there. Put up some of his own money, too, for scholarships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not... Correct me if I think it's like 10 grand or something.
I believe
like
so.
That.
I had two gifts of
$5,000. That's certainly laudable.
Absolutely.
Certainly laudable.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I don't think that his, given the entrenched nature of the Sunnyside Unified School District problems, I don't think Mr. Hoopenthal coming before them and saying, let's all be friends, is going to work. Plus, I also have to say that Mr. Hoopenthal has had quite a history of stirring things up. Over in the Tucson Unified School District, so he didn't seem to mind that division, the divisions on that board. So, but yeah, I think anytime you get people making a contribution to public schools, even if it is
that's his home district.
Yes,
so
yes, he grew up on the Tucson South Side, and I hope he was able to listen in addition to sharing what he thought.
But whether he's a peacemaker, well,
yeah.
He's going to have to do more than a speech at call to the audience. That district is getting worse by the minute.
Uh-huh.
I mean, now you've got this call to Daniel Hernandez to prove his corruption charges, or else what? I don't know. The board has said he has to refute his or provide proof of his charges of corruption of other board members by October 4th.
How many
if he doesn't provide the proof, I don't know what happens.
And how many are being recalled? Or
four of the five. The only one not being recalled is Eva Dong.
All righty. Mark Evans, the editor of Inside Tucson Business. You can look for Mark's work, either the hard copy or online, at itb.com. Did I get that right? Or just Inside Tucson Business.
Well, this
business.
Is embarrassing. I think it's InsideTucsonBusiness.com.
Yes, we'll excuse you. You're a new employee there.
But I think if you put in itb.com, it might still redirect you.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. And Sarah, have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Okay.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Another
business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient. It can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
All right, bring on the weekend. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Oh my, what a beautiful weekend it would be over in Silver City. All the green of the monsoon rains and the cooler temperatures. Autumn in the air, certainly, over in Silver City, and they have a festival, Southwest Festival. The Written Word is this weekend in downtown historic Silver City. Lots of great places to stay, including Little Toad Creek Inn, Burrow Mountain Homestead RV Park, and Spirit Canyon Lodge. You can find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist and president and CEO of Russell Public Communication, a man who knows his food and is always hungry and looking for his next meal. Here he is, Matt Russell.
Thanks so much, Bill. You know, I was just talking to your producer, Rose. She says it's our first very nice weekend in Tucson in so long, and I'm actually heading up to Flagstaff to go for NAU Family Weekend this weekend, so I'm going to miss all the fun down here.
Oh, it'd be beautiful up in Flagstaff with a low temperature, actually around freezing, so bundle up.
Oh, I'm ready. It took me a few more minutes than I thought necessary to find my my winter coat, but I found it.
How about action at the Union Public House? They've got an event coming up.
Absolutely, yeah. Now that the temps are really starting to cool down here in Tucson, I think it's time to think al fresco again. And I think a great al fresco happy hour for today is Union Public House over in St. Philip's Plaza. Bill, they call it social hour, and the food is as central to the experience as the beverages are. Their house-made pretzel with smoked sea salt and a beer cheese is a particular favorite of mine, which I always pair up with a Moscow Mule cocktail, which they serve in this iconic copper cup. This is such a delicious way to kick off the weekend on the beautiful patio of Union Public House. Social hour begins at 4 o'clock today.
Somebody mentioned beer?
Yeah, imagine a lineup, Bill, of 200 beers for the tasting, all to benefit a great cause. It's the 27th annual Great Tucson Beer Festival tomorrow from 4:30 to 10 p.m. out at Keno Stadium, and it's going to be benefiting Sun Sounds of Arizona. Now, all of our favorite local brewers are going to be there, plus those from all across Arizona. You'll find a great selection of ales and lagers and stouts and IPAs and other varietals, but there's live music and activities as well. But the beer reigns here, so be sure to schedule your designated driver in advance and head out to the Great American Beer Festival tomorrow night.
Sunday brunch is always great at Hacienda del Sol.
Yeah, it sure is. And I'll take a look at this week's Tucson Weekly, where they do the best of for 2013. And again, the Hacienda del Sol wins best brunch for 2013, which is, we're reminded why we like it so much. Thoughtfully prepared appetizers and salads and fresh seafood, other hearty main coursers, omelets and waffles made to order. But my favorite part, Bill, the free champagne. And all of this against the backdrop of some of the most spectacular views around. We love Sunday brunch at the Hacienda del Sol.
And speaking of Tucson Weekly, the best of issue, kudos go out to best authentic Neapolitan, pizza from Naples, let's put it that way, goes to our Buckmaster Show charter sponsor, Vero Amore Pizza.
That's such great pizza. I was just there for dinner a couple days ago, and they always impress. You know, it's the only certified, authentic Neapolitan pizza.
There you go. Neapolitan. Neapolitan pizza. I certainly got tongue twisted with that, but the bottom line is our thanks to Vero Amore. They've been a sponsor since we began the Buckmaster Show almost 3 years ago, and they do a great job over there, don't they, Matt?
Absolutely. Love it. And Noble Hops, the gastro pub that the Mussman brothers run, just as spectacular of an experience.
We really appreciate it, and we really appreciate what you do on Weekend Watch. Thank you, Matt Russell.
Thanks. Cheers, Bill.
bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by our friends at Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Culligan for all your residential and commercial water needs. We thank Culligan Water. All of our in-studio guests are very happy to receive a nice chilled bottle of Culligan. And everybody here at KVOI also happy to have Culligan Water as well. It is just better bottled water, pure and simple. Coming up this afternoon, we have John C. Scott, the Dean of Local Talk. John from 3 to 5. And then tomorrow morning, it's the expert talk beginning. We've got all sorts of experts on KVOI on the weekend. And it begins with our friend Phil Cedar, who will tell us everything we need to know about late summer, early autumn gardening. Phil starts his weekend gardening show, does it twice, Sunday afternoon at 3, but the first edition is Saturday morning at 7 right here on KVOI. So got all expert talk over the weekend, and then Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. We start all over again here with local talk on Monday morning from 6 to 8. The Buckmaster Show, a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, the lovely and talented ace producer, Rosemary Brad, I'm Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend.
Intelligent Talk 24-7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.